Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I was just walking through the hallways outside of our studios here, and I heard my voice, and it wasn't the show because it was during a commercial break. No, I heard the pork rinds commercial actually airing not once but twice during the show over the last couple of hours. So I suppose there are worse things to be associated with. The chick who stole Kurt Warner's gig as the pork rinds pitch voice. And actually, I still want to try the blueberry habanero. That's the one flavor that I haven't had a chance to try yet, but I would recommend them. They are extremely crunchy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you're waking up on your Monday, good morning to you. I hope you enjoyed the 4 days at Augusta National, the Masters, a tradition unlike any other on CBS, now airing on CBS for more than 50 years. It was the 85th edition of the Masters, and yet we still managed to see some history. Plus, same weekend, a first for one of baseball's franchises as well. You know me, I'm a total geek when it comes to the nerdy stats and the history. I love being a witness to things in sports, to events, to triumphs, to moments in sports that we've never seen before. And so this weekend was full of them. And along with that, we may very well see Alex Rodriguez soon become the majority owner of an NBA franchise, also something that we never seen and that we never thought we would see. But along those lines, because A-Rod's desperate to own a team, I don't even think it matters what type of a team it is now. He couldn't get the Mets because Steve Cohen is worth, I don't know, triple, quadruple what he and Jennifer Lopez are worth. But he wants to be a franchise owner, and he certainly does have an acute business acumen. I'll give him that. The man has turned himself into a businessman who knows how to get in on the ground level, to buy a franchise, to invest, and to turn it into a winner. He's done that in multiple other industries. And so I think it'll be cool. I just don't know what he knows about running an NBA franchise. So I guess you hire the right people. But he's at it again. There's a deal nearly in place, not quite done, in which he and a partner, a billionaire partner, I don't know that the guy's, I mean, the guy's name is Mark Lohr. I don't know him or know of him, but I do know he's a billionaire. That comes before his name. And so there is your driving financial force. They are right now working on an agreement to purchase the Timberwolves, one of the worst franchises in the NBA, in terms of the constant change, the constant transition, the constant losing, and also to go along with it, the Lynx from the WNBA. Roughly $1.5 billion. Steve Cohen purchased the Mets for $2.4 billion. And then going back to David Tepper's purchase of the Panthers, $2.2 billion. There was some talk, too. I don't know how accurate this is, but there was some talk before Steve Cohen agreed to buy the Mets that he actually overbid, as in threw extra money in to sweeten the deal just so that it would become painfully obvious to the Wilpons that he's the only guy that should be buying the team. He's a longtime Mets fan. Money's no object to him, let's just be honest. And so he wanted to be sure that no one else would come in underneath the wire and steal that purchase away from him. And so, yeah, $2.4 billion, quickly becoming the richest owner in baseball history. If money were no object, and I did, when I retweeted the post from producer Dave, I did put if inside the asterisks, because I don't know many people to whom money is no object. It certainly is an object to me. But if money is no object and you had the money, what sports franchise would you like to own? Quick story from the weekend, just to to tell you what a different space I'm in when it comes to the owners of sports franchises. I was researching toilets. I was preparing to purchase a toilet, and I was, see, some people purchase sports franchises. I have to purchase items for the home. And so I thought I had a failing toilet, and I was researching the two brands that my neighbor slash plumber had given me to look at. And so as I'm doing it, comparing prices on Amazon, I'm looking at prices on Home Depot, and I realized that most, if not all, of your standard toilets require that you purchase a toilet seat separately. So we had kind of been warned by a few listeners to the show last week. Here's the crazy part. Producer Dave, did you know there are toilet seats, not actual toilets, but the seat that you put your rear end on, that can go upwards of $800, $1,000, more than $1,000, four figures for a toilet seat. Have you ever in your lifetime, well, maybe you don't know this, used a toilet seat that cost $1,000 friggin'?
Not that I know of.
OMG. What,
why does it cost so much?
Well, there's different features that are built in. Some are heated. I mean, what? How long are you spending on that thing? Do you really need it to be heated?
I mean, does it open and close by itself?
Yes.
Does it self-clean?
Some of them are remote, which I thought was funny. My plumber said to me, because he came over, actually, as it turned out, I don't have to replace mine right now. I'm going to get by for a few more months without doing it. So he kind of jerry-rigged it, and he was able to get it to work again. Anyway, he said to me, there are some that are remote controlled. Why do you need a remote? You're sitting on it. I mean, or you're standing near it. Either way, at some point, you're sitting on the seat. Otherwise, you wouldn't be paying for a $1,000 seat. Why do you need a remote? I mean, it's not like you are in your living room and you have to get up to cross the room to change the channel on your TV. No, you're on the commode, as my grandmother used to call it. You're sitting on the commode. Why do you need a remote control? Someone please explain that to me.
I don't have a good answer. Other than just because.
There are two kinds of people in this world. The people who just buy a toilet seat and the people who buy a gold toilet seat. Diamond encrusted with heat and a bidet and a remote control. Clearly, I am not the classy type. Seriously, who spends $800 on a toilet seat?
It seems like a complete and total waste of money.
$800 is a lot of money, to me anyway, but not to the people who buy sports franchises.
Well, if the seat costs $800, how much did the toilet cost?
Yeah, exactly. But you could buy it separately. I suppose you could buy some cheap toilet. And here's really other quick note. Did you know there are also lights that you can purchase to put not next to the toilet, but inside the toilet bowl? Did you know that?
Why?
Well, so that was my question too. So as I'm, my mom's husband, he thinks he's really funny. Mike was Googling, you know, funny features of toilets. My mom and I are having this whole toilet discussion. Mom's just, we're just being serious, talking about money issues. And Mike sends us this photo on group text of a toilet lit from the inside by a blue neon light. It looked like a lightsaber was inside the toilet. It was that color. And I thought, whoa, that's like Star Wars. So as a joke, a package shows up at my house today. Keep in mind, my mom and her husband are in Texas. Package shows up at my house today. My mom instantly texts me, did you get the package? Because, you know, Amazon sends a notice when the sender when it arrives. Did you get the package? And then after she said, did you get the package? And the text had said, I'm sorry, .. Mike thought it would be hysterical to send me the light that goes in the toilet bowl. It's an LED light that changes colors. Pink, purple, blue, green. Green, like the Masters green jacket green. No, I mean, no one needs a light.
It's a funny gift.
Yes.
But Why?
Well, because in case you don't want to turn on the light in your bathroom, you are directed to the toilet by the light that's in the bowl. However, I just, whatever. It would, to me, it's again, it's overkill, like having a remote control on your toilet seat. But I am going to freak my brother and sister-in-law out. They're coming to visit this weekend, and I'm going to put it in the toilet bowl in my spare bathroom and turn it on when they go to bed so that when they... Hopefully when they get up in the middle of the night, there's a light shining out of the toilet bowl.
They are going to be so confused. Like, what's happening in here?
You stay classy.
I had no idea that toilet bowls came with remote controls. Well, toilet seats came with remote controls or $8,000 seats or lights that go in the bowl. You learn something new every single day.
I was going to say, we've all learned something here today.
Uh-huh. And then right in the middle of our whole discussion about toilets, my mom just says, I'm done talking about toilets. I'm tired of it. I was like, okay, Mom, we'll talk about something else. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So clearly I'm not in the position to buy a sports franchise. Oh, there'd be too many toilet decisions if I owned a stadium too. But you can put money aside and tell me what sports franchise you would most like to purchase. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. What if, baby? What if? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll get back to your calls, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. I have not yet answered the question. I will do so following our first break of the hour because I've settled on my answer. I originally was thinking NFL, and I would like to be an owner of the NFL because those franchises are making money. They're withstanding what has been we won't call it a collapse. We'll call it the extreme pressure of the pandemic financially. So baseball, basketball, many others are feeling it in ways that they couldn't have foreseen. But you remember that the commissioner of Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, indicated that there were $1.5 billion in losses from the shortened season without fans last year. And so baseball's been hit hard. The NBA has been hit extremely hard as well. I, though, have changed my mind. Yes, I would love to own an NFL franchise.
The Denver Broncos.
I would love to own the Broncos, let's be honest. I'd love to be John Elway's boss. I mean, there's, you know, I would hire Wade Phillips back in some capacity. I'd ask him to come help me run the team. I love Wade Phillips. Anyway, yes, if I could purchase the Denver Broncos, and actually, they're going through a weird situation with the Bolin family, Pat Bolin passing away, and so they're right now, they've got a bit of a fight going on about their ownership, so this is nothing to do with me. They may end up for sale at some point, though I hope not, because the Bolins have owned that team for a long time. But if not an NFL franchise, I've settled on another franchise that I would like to buy. I know very little about running a soccer franchise, but Real Madrid, as enticing as it is not my answer. So 855-212-4227. On Twitter and Facebook, we'll get back to your answers. It was a holiday in Japan. No doubt, there are a lot of people who are wrapping up their workday now in Japan, and they are bleary-eyed, and they're working on their fifth cup of coffee. Or maybe the coffee's just not working anymore. I found it really cool to think about the millions of Japanese sports fans. And really, you didn't have to be a sports fan to know what was happening in Japan on Sunday into Monday, right? So many of them were up all night because as they were closing in on breakfast, just after dawn in Japan, Hideki Matsuyama was making history. And I was talking about this earlier on the show, but I love it when we have events that are taking place while we're on the air live. It does happen. It happens during the hockey and basketball playoffs when there's late starts. It happens for sure when we've got international events like the Australian Open, the Open Championship, the Olympics that are coming up in Japan. It'll be the reverse phenomenon. But for this one particular event, it was on our time in the United States, and we were keeping the Japanese fans awake. And yet, no doubt, they were more than willing to sacrifice sleep to see something that's never happened in their history before.
松山英樹、マスターズを勝ちました。ついに日本人がグリーンジャケットに袖を通します。日本人が招待を受けた85年、ついに世界の頂点に松山は立ってくれました。
Congratulations to Hideki Matsuyama. He was already an icon because he'd won 5 PGA Tour events, because he is the most recognizable male Japanese golfer, and because he's been on the tour now for a decade. He was actually low amateur at the Masters in 2010, and there's only a handful of golfers who have ever been the low amateur, Tiger Woods being one of them, Phil Mickelson being one of them, who then turned around and actually won the tournament down the road. I love that they have an ambulance going on in the background. So the Hideki history that was made, as he is the first Japanese man ever to win a major and the first to capture the Masters, it's perfect. In 2021, it just so happens that the Olympics are in Tokyo, which means he'll be able to get back into his native Japan. I don't know how often he goes home. He does have a home in Orlando, and that makes sense, obviously. Most international players do have local digs or U.S. digs so that they're not traveling back and forth. But that nation is going to be waiting with bated breath. I wouldn't be surprised if there were hundreds of thousands of people that showed up at the airport if they could figure out when it was that he was arriving. And since the Olympics are in Tokyo and golf is an Olympic sport now, that will be a really cool homecoming. We had one listener speculate that he will be the one who lights the torch at the end of the opening ceremonies, and I hope that is the case. Congratulations to Hideki. Really not a whole lot of drama. After his surge on Saturday, following the rain delay, he came out with 6 birdies in 8 holes and surged to the top of the leaderboard. And really, there wasn't a much of a challenge. He wasn't pushed very often. There were a couple of moments of drama on Sunday on the back nine. He dumped a ball. Well, actually, he scorched a ball into the water on 15. It was not going to stop. If it hadn't hit the water, it was just going to keep going. It's one of those like low kind of, it was really low, but it was a scorcher. It was like a screamer. And so he gets a ball into the water on 15 and then has to recover there. But as he does so, his closest competitor, American Xander Schauffele, has just birdied 4 holes in a row. And so that gap goes from being 6 shots down to 2 shots. And there's all kinds of drama then. And actually, on the very next hole, Matsuyama was not on the green. It was a par 3, the par 3 16th. He wasn't on the green. But what happens? Schauffele then dumps his own ball in the drink off 16 and ends up with his first ever triple bogey in his major career. He got so close and then watched it go into the water.
It's hard to win out here, especially at this tournament. I think I'll throw 16 in the memory bank. I think a lot of the great shots into 16 are left to right, high cuts into that mound. I've been hitting a good high cut all week. I just didn't think of it at that time, and I hit a hard draw 8-iron and it just wasn't the shot. So moving forward, just kind of throw it in the memory bank. You know, I'm going to keep collecting thoughts. Hopefully I keep coming back here for years to come. And the goal is to win one day.
So Xander Schauffele, he got close, but Hideki had more than enough cushion. Ends up winning by a stroke because he bogeyed number 18. But pretty sweet to see the emotion on his face, the relief, of course, his first major after the 10 years. And I did feel a twinge for him because he had some friends there and his longtime interpreter, Bob Turner, I think was his name, if I remember correctly, but he didn't have his family there. So his wife and his daughter were in Orlando and the rest of his family is in Japan. So that was the only part that I wished could have been different. Because usually when you're talking about such a momentous occasion, you see family surrounding these golfers as they come off the 18th green. And he was largely alone. There were a few hugs and a bunch of fist bumps, but for the most part, it was just his team that was with him. So an awesome moment, but I'm really excited for him to get back home and to Japan and be part of the Olympics later on in 2021. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. A little bit later, we'll hear from Jordan Spieth, who made a run at it. He's so comfortable at Augusta National. And get to know the name Will Zalatoris. Adam Sandler does. If you don't know why I'm referencing Adam Sandler and Happy Gilmore, check out our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. So Adam Sandler was tweeting at Will Zalatoris, who's 24 years old and a Masters rookie. Could you imagine what it was like when Will picked up his phone and realized that he had a tweet from Adam Sandler? So check it out on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. This day, this weekend, though, belonged to Hideki Matsuyama with his translator. What this means for the nation of Japan to have this Masters win.
Hopefully I'll be a pioneer in this and many other Japanese will follow. And I'm glad to be able to open the floodgates, hopefully, and many more will follow me.
Really cool. One of those moments that I'm glad I got to see. Maybe didn't have the same back nine drama as what we love at the Masters, but we are witnesses to Hideki history. Masters Matsuyama. Oh, and there was another really cool moment too, and then we'll take our break. His caddy puts the flag stick back in the hole on 18 and then bows to the course. Thought that was really neat too. That video is also out there on CBS Sports and Masters Twitter if you want to check it out.
Hideki Matsuyama.
Why the ambulance? I have no idea. But they're really excited in Japan. Who needs sleep when you have a moment like this one? 855-212-4227 on Twitter, on Facebook. What sports franchise would you own if money was no object?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
No balls, two strikes, two out. Urias to Adames. Call strike three. The Dodgers win. Finally, the wait is over. The Dodgers are the champions of 2020 in a year like no other, where joy has been so hard to come by. Tonight, tears of joy. Let them flow. Tonight, there is joy in Mudville. The curse of 88 is 88 and out the gate, and the Dodgers are celebrating out in the middle of the field between home plate and the pitcher's mound. The Dodgers, for the first time since 1988, 32 seasons, are the champions of baseball.
Follow Amy Lawrence on Twitter after hours or anytime. Her Twitter handle is at A-Law Radio.
Those very same Dodgers earned their World Series rings in fall of 2020 and then got to don them, got to hold them, got to touch them, got to flash that bling on Friday at their home opener. It was a gorgeous day at Chavez Ravine, a beautiful day at Dodger Stadium, and it was a really neat ceremony. And the Dodgers were posting pictures and videos all over. I saved the one, liked the one, whatever it is that you do on Twitter, of the Clayton Kershaw ring and his gigantic smile with his ring box. I thought that was really cool. And by far, one of my favorite stories to come out of the last crazy year in sports. So you can check it out on Twitter, A-Law Radio. The Dodgers are the franchise that I would want to own if money were no object, because they have very passionate fans. They have an incredible location. The problem is now you'd be buying high as opposed to buying low and being able to sell high and make money. But they're the defending champs. They have ownership that has invested so much in making them a consistent winner. I just like the overall attitude around the franchise, too. I like the leadership. But again, I'd be paying a huge premium. There is something to be said for buying a franchise that's in the depths and restoring it and fixing it and bringing it back to glory. Many of you are saying you want to buy a franchise so you can move it. That's a lot of trouble, by the way, and a lot more money than what you're simply paying for the franchise. But if you could, what sports franchise would you purchase and why? I'm going Dodgers. I think the NFL is your best bet, though. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. I would say the most popular right now are baseball as well as football. I'm not seeing a lot of NBA. Some NBA, not a ton. I don't know what that means. I'm not interpreting it or giving you a reason why. Some of you are trying to buy universities. It doesn't really work that way. We've seen a few of you who want to buy hockey franchises. By far, my favorite answer from the hockey realm is about the Whale, the Hartford Whalers. And the guy who wrote in, let me see if I can find the post on our Facebook page. He said, oh, here, David, I would purchase the rights to the Hartford Whalers and bring them back. I love that. I'd have to go out and get a new Hartford Whalers shirt. I do love that idea. It's just not quite as simple as it sounds. He doesn't even care who is the current iteration of the Hartford Whalers. He just wants to get them back. So I like the idea of getting in on the ground floor to be sure, or starting something new, maybe a new era with a particular team. You still have to have billions of dollars. A-Rod and his partner are still planning to shell out $1.5 billion for an NBA franchise that's been irrelevant for years, other than to have its top players go elsewhere, and also a WNBA franchise, which is linked to, it's the Minnesota Lynx, and it's linked to the Minnesota Timberwolves, and they're going to get in on the ground floor at $1.5 billion. That's it, just $1.5 billion. Let's quick take a call from Milton, who's in Brooklyn. Milton, what do you think?
Hey, I mean, you're doing awesome. A lot of energy. I mean, it's incredible what you're bringing, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Me being a Knicks, Yankees, Rangers, and Jets fan, it was a tough decision. I don't got to touch the Yankees. You know, once they beat the Mets in the World Series, they could never do anything wrong to me. It's over. The greatest franchise to me, so I would never touch them. The Knicks, I don't want to deal with touching the Rangers and having two things to worry about. So it's easy for me to pick the New York Jets.
Okay.
The first thing I would do is get my own. It is so embarrassing that a team in New York does not have their own stadium. And for this franchise to have an opportunity to get away from that and to go do it again and share a stadium with the Giants is by far the most embarrassing thing. I mean, how do you not have your own stadium? So I would have my own stadium. I won't be picky about wanting to be in Manhattan. I'll bring it back to Queens if they want. Brooklyn, I don't care. Just have your own identity. It'll be little things. First of all, I would fire everybody that has to do with the scouting department. Every single person. I don't care if it's the person that fixes the vending machine. Everybody has to do anything with the scouting department because they have no idea how to scout players in college. All they do is focus on the first-round pick like they're doing now. And I really, really think this team does not do anything with all the other picks. Like, you have to really go deep and find gems in the fourth and fifth round. So I would look to build a super team as far as scouting goes. Little things like throwback uniforms. Where's my 80s uniform? What is this yellow? Where is it? What is this ugly yellow and blue uniform that none of us ever seen?
Yeah, no, it's ugly for sure.
You know, I would do that. It was just, you know, little things like that. And I would try to be, you know, the whole thing from the Indies is to bring fun back into the Jets and make this franchise turn around, get their own identity. So that's my answer.
All right.
The New York Jets. And, you know, draft speed and draft smart, that's their problem. And I would fix that as the owner. That would be my number one priority, is fixing the draft and the scouting.
All right. Just out of curiosity, Milton, then I have to let you go. Would you have traded Sam Darnold or kept Sam Darnold as the owner?
I would have traded him because it was 3 years, Amy. He was hurt every year. I'm tired of hearing the narrative of, you put things around him. Okay, you put things about any quarterback, they'll be good. So basically, you're telling me this guy has that. So basically, you're telling me this guy has to have a perfect offensive line, top wide receivers, a good running back. And
I mean,
he'll be
even
good.
One wide receiver would be nice.
One wide receiver. He had Crowder. He had some guys. And you got to look at the decisions he makes. Yes, he needed more things around him. We saw that. Yes, he could be better. And I wish him the best. And I think he's going to be decent.
He should stop kissing people with mono.
Yeah, and you know what it is, Amy? I didn't, after seeing those three, the three seasons I saw, I wasn't going to dedicate to giving him a new contract. So
all
I
right.
wanted to, you know, I wanted to refresh everything. You got a new coach. The GM wants to get his own guy. That's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all. Not like act like we don't know that. These guys want their own quarterback. Their own. They want to be able to say this is the guy that I bring. They don't want nothing from the old GM. So you know what? Let Sam do his thing in Carolina, and I'm hoping. My worry about the Jets is what they're going to do after the first. Everybody keeps talking about just his first pick. They have so many picks.
Well, I know, but that's the whole point, though. Joe Douglas. Let's see what Joe Douglas does, because he's just now starting to establish himself, and that is kind of what I've heard a lot, is that they are focusing on finding value in this draft. I love it, Milton. I like your passion. I like that you're owning it. Thanks for calling from Brooklyn. We hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
855-212-4227. Get that off of my radio show. Just kidding. I actually feel bad for them. Now I just want to root for them because they're so pathetic.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
松山秀樹マスターズを勝ちました。ついに日本人がグリーンジャケットに袖を通します。日本人が招待を受けた85年、ついに世界の頂点に松山は立ってくれました。
I'm honored and thrilled to be able to win here at the wonderful Augusta National, and want to thank all of you great fans for coming out today and cheering.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I love the odd couple that is Hideki Matsuyama and his longtime translator, Bob Turner. He's an older gentleman. You can hear his voice there, relatively soft-spoken, has white hair. And the pictures that I saw with Matsuyama after he had won the green jacket and was posing with some friends who were in attendance, it's him and I think it was three or four other Japanese men, younger men, and then Bob Turner with his white hair standing behind him. Just kind of fun, the way that sports brings unlikely pairings together. But Hideki, like many Japanese athletes who spend time playing their sport in the United States, reminded me of Hideki Matsui, who definitely understood English and actually could speak it a little bit, but wasn't as comfortable speaking it. You get that sometimes with athletes who come from other countries and English is not their primary language. And I know I feel the same. I can speak Spanish enough to get along. I can understand it really well. But when I'm in Cuba or I'm in Ecuador and I'm speaking to someone whose native language is Spanish, then I get intimidated and nervous. And so I'm not quite as comfortable speaking it myself. But we did get to hear Hideki's English just a little bit when he was out with his green jacket on the 18th green.
Thank you.
I'd like to especially thank the members of the Augusta National Golf Club.
No, I like it better when he just says, thank you. And he also said inside Butler Cabin, I'm really happy. So he heard the question from Jim Nance, or I can't remember if it was Jim Nance or if it was the chairman of Augusta who asked him the question. And his first response about his emotions, he said in English, I'm really happy. So super cool. Green jacket translates no matter the language, no matter the country. And it's a really neat piece of history for Hideki, who didn't face much of a challenge except for this brief second. And that's how quick it felt when he dumped a ball in the water on 15 and the lead shrunk to 2, as you have Xander Schauffele, who's on a tear on the back nine with 4 consecutive birdies, but then Schauffele turns around and puts his own ball in the drink on 16. And so it was that quick where the challenge was there and then it was gone. But we did see a couple of really neat personalities emerge on the weekend at the Masters, one of them being Will Zalatoris. Now, he's got a unique look. He's a young American. Wake Forest, I think, is where he played his college ball. But check it out on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or Google him. He's got a new fan in Adam Sandler. And Sandler felt like he looked exactly like the caddy did in Happy Gilmore. And so Zalatoris saw the tweet and was playing along. It was kind of fun. Anyway, Zalatoris has got a great story. His nickname is Showtime. So he's got a unique look, but he's got a pretty sweet nickname. He's a Masters rookie. He was playing in just his third major ever at 24 years old, and yet he finished second only to Matsuyama.
You know, to be in this situation, I've been dreaming about it for 20 years, so I thought I did a really good job this week of just enjoying the moment, but not letting it get to me.
He was fun. He was a lot of fun. He was wearing a bright pink shirt and he had a great personality. And a lot of people, as I say, know him for that personality and for the way that he plays the game with the nickname Showtime. But pretty amazing at the Masters. And it's the first time you've played there and you end up being in contention and being not in the final pairing, but among those final groups.
I think I'd kind of let everything soak in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then, you know, back to work on Thursday. So it was an absolute treat, and obviously to come up one short and be disappointed is motivating, but obviously very exciting.
Congratulations to him. He's a guy that also finished sixth at the U.S. Open in 2020, so you would think that the future is bright if he continues on this trajectory. Jordan Spieth, back in the conversation as an American golfer who, when he first made his debut at the Masters, he was captivating and he won a green jacket and then he finished runner up the next year when he had a minor collapse on the back nine. He's won already three majors, a U.S. Open, an Open Championship and a Masters. And he seems to love and feel comfortable at Augusta National. Now, he was coming off his first win in 4 years going back last week to Texas. And he feels like that may have been a part of why he just couldn't get the putts to drop and why he couldn't take advantage of his opportunities this weekend.
I'm tired. I felt some mental fatigue for sure and made a couple bonehead mistakes over the weekend just from, I think, maybe the long stretch. And but all in all, certainly another good finish here.
Yeah, it was an interesting weekend, not only because you had so many of the big names that didn't even make the cut. Dustin Johnson, who had to stick around or had to come back, I guess, to give Hideki the green jacket. But no Rory McIlroy. Justin Thomas faded. I mean, he dropped like a rock after that rain delay on Saturday.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, Hideki comes out of the rain delay with six birdies in eight holes, took over the lead, and never gave it back. That was the part that was amazing. Yeah, Sunday, he had to be able to get through 18 holes and not completely implode. But on Saturday, after the rain delay, six birdies in eight holes. He took the lead, and that was it. No one else ever was atop the leaderboard after that. So he had a surge that nobody else could beat. And I just love the fact that he'll be home sometime in the next couple of months in Japan, where he will be welcomed as a pioneer and as a hero, and now as the only male champion ever of a golf major and the only Masters champ. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, and our Facebook page. If you haven't seen, some of you are clamoring for pictures of my monster cat. I happened to snap one when she was relatively calm and not howling at me this weekend. She found my sheets that I didn't fold right away and made a nice little bed out of them. So you can check out Sugar the Monster Cat on either Twitter or on Facebook. Let's talk to Josh, who's in Dallas. Josh, what sports franchise would you own if you could?
I'm looking at a relegated Premier League team, you know, that just went down, or one that's in the Coca-Cola division, I think it's called. And if I've got deep pockets, most of those guys do who buy those teams, there's no salary cap.
Right.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to build it up, you know, and then just turn that franchise into a monster, kind of like a Leicester City type situation where they when they won the Premier League with a 5,000-to-1 chance, get, you know, something like that, something fun, ooh, something to build with.
And you made a ton of money in that moment. Boom.
Yeah. billions of dollars, I'm sure they made, or at least $1 billion. I mean, I'm not sure the numbers, but, and that would be fun. And then maybe also women's side of soccer too, because it needs a lot of work as far as exposure. But I appreciate you. I love your show, and thank you.
Thanks, Josh. Have a great day in Dallas. Happy Monday to you. Colonel on Twitter says, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I like the image of a rough and tumble offense and the famous steel curtain. And then underneath it, he puts a picture of his cat on top of a cabinet. So he goes with rough and tumble and Pittsburgh Steelers and blue collar, and then there's a cat. That's my fault. I said, I like your pictures of the cat in response to Sugar the Monster. All right, let's quick work in Bob, who's in California. Bob, you got about 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Amy? It's a pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
I'd go with the Chicago Bears. And what I'd do is I'd only hire a defensive coach, offensive coach, and me.
Oh.
No, none of this, what do you call them, inside general manager, somebody talking click-clack, and that... That man that called you earlier about getting rid of from the Jets, he has a great idea there. I'd do the same with the Bears. Yes, I would.
Okay. Well, I like the fact that you have conviction about your ownership and you've got a plan, sir. That's great.
Thank you so much, Amy. And you stay the way you are. You're awesome.
All right. It takes much energy to be something you're not.
Say hi to Grandma.
Oh, I will do. I do almost every day. Thank you, Bob, in California. I don't know what he was talking about, but it's okay. It's fine. We're almost at the top of the hour, so it's good. Jason says, I would buy the Pittsburgh Pirates just so they can start winning again. He's on Facebook. A lot of you are saying you would buy teams that right now you don't feel have the commitment from ownership to win. You don't feel like their owners are in it to win it, so to speak. They're in it to make the money, but they're not necessarily in it for the hardware, for the bling. And I'm pretty confident the owners that we would all point to as the ones who really want to win it, the ones who are desperate to win it, the passionate owners, that doesn't mean they win it every year, but it does mean they're willing to go the extra mile and they hire the right people. And very often cost is not an object. And I don't just mean salary cap. I mean, if you've got the right people in place and you're willing to go out and get the people that you believe can create a winning culture, that costs money too. Damon on Facebook, the Indians and or the Browns. I mean, you might as well just go all out and buy two of them. And let's see. Missy says the Indians because the owners need to put more effort into running the team and bringing a championship to the city. A lot of you are saying Cowboys so you can hire a new GM. Yeah, I gotcha, but they're expensive. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.